I'm Barbara Bray. Welcome to my Rethinking Learning podcast, where I have conversations with inspirational educators, thought leaders, and change agents. Well, I'm really excited today. I have someone I've been wanting to talk to for a long time, Dave Burgess. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Barbara, it's my pleasure to join you.
I just, you know, I've been wanting to talk to you. I've been reading all your books. I did everything. I just think you're amazing. But I always tell everyone a little bit about the people that come on my show. So I'm just going to do a real quick, and then we're going to get into a little more about you.
Sounds great.
Okay. So Dave is the New York Times bestselling author of Teach Like a Pirate. And I love it. I mean, everyone goes, argh, when I, you know, when they talk about it. You're also co-author of PE is for Pirate and the president of Dave Burgess Consulting Incorporated, which delivers powerful, inspirational, and innovative books, keynotes, and professional development. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of your authors.
Yes, I see you've had a lot of our authors on. We always appreciate the support. And also, I noticed that there's some people that are going to be authors that you've interviewed that they just don't have their book out with us yet. But I noticed there's a few of those on there as well.
Oh, well, we'll have to put their books up on the blog post for them to show it off.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome, Dave. I'm just very excited you're here.
Hey, I'm excited to join you.
Well, there's so much I want to know. I want to learn about you. And I thought, you know, I always try to ask everybody, tell me a little bit about you, your family, and, you know, your background.
Yeah, for sure. So I live in San Diego, California. My wife, Shelley, I run the business with Dave Burgess Consulting with her. She's an educator as well. And we have two children. My son, Hayden, is a senior in high school, and my daughter, Ashlyn, is a sophomore. And so we're just getting into those college applications and all that kind of stuff with our son right now. So it's a crazy time.
Where does he want to go?
You know, he has lots of possibilities. Two of the top choices right now, University of Miami and UC Santa Barbara. So
Whoa.
We'll see how it all shakes out. But he's a big time scuba diver and he's into things like marine science and all that kind of stuff. And so he wants to be on a coast somewhere where we can do some scuba diving.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a whole different coast. I grew up on the East Coast.
Okay.
And so the coast is completely different. When I came out here and I went, wow, this is rocky.
And cold.
And very cold. I wasn't used to it. So have you always lived in San Diego?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in San Diego. And the only time I haven't had San Diego as a home base is I was 5 years. I went to college at UC Davis.
Oh, that's not too far from me.
That's right.
Yeah, my sister went there and it's a great school. What was your major?
I was a psychology major. So I was kind of late to the game as far as education. And so I came out of UC Davis with a degree in psychology.
Oh, well, it's sure needed now. There's a lot of brain-based work, and that's what I'm working on now is to figure out how people learn. I bet you learned a lot of those theories before, so it really helped when you went into education, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think psychology is a great major for educators and for actually, I think it's just a good general major for whether you're in business, education, or whatever it might be. Understanding the mind, how people think, and all that is a critical thing.
Yeah, I can still never figure out some people.
You and me both.
So, you know, you talked about, you know, growing up in San Diego, but what was it like for you as a student, you know, being a learner when you were young and, you know, how did that impact you?
Yeah, you know, so I was a good student. I did very well in school, but I wouldn't say that I was necessarily highly engaged in school, but what I was good at, I was good at playing the game. And so I knew what I needed to do and I did that. And I don't feel like I was really, you know, on fire about school, on our education. I had some good teachers, had some bad teachers, as we all have, right? But I was good at jumping over all the hurdles and going through all the hoops that you need to do. So I did know how to play the game.
Isn't that crazy? Most of the people I talk to that are very successful now say that either they weren't very good in school and they just learned how to do it, or they were really good in school, but they knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And you had to be compliant. And isn't that funny how we are now?
I mean, absolutely.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing. So, you know, you were in psychology. How did you become an educator?
So my gateway drug into teaching was as a basketball coach. And so I came out of college. I was doing some various things, some different entrepreneurial ventures and different things like this. And then I actually took a job as a basketball coach, boys junior varsity basketball coach at high school. And then enjoyed working with the kids. I didn't have a teacher credential or anything. Enjoyed working with the kids so much, enjoyed coaching, that I went back at night school and got my teacher credential, and then took a job at the school where I was coaching. Eventually became the girls varsity basketball coach there, but got a job in the social studies department, became a history teacher, and then the rest is history. So it all started with basketball. And actually during that credential program, in those night classes, that's also where I met my wife, Shelley.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of strange how things work out.
I know. Well, my husband was a basketball player, and that's how I met him. And interesting that you came in a back door like that. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. And so my first job that I ever held was I worked for 3 summers for John Wooden at the John Wooden basketball camps in Thousand Oaks, wow, California, Cal Lutheran College. Unfortunately, Thousand Oaks is in the news today, mm-hmm, for bad, yeah, reasons, but Cal Lutheran College in Thousand Oaks, California is where I worked for 3 years for John Wooden. And then the first paid job in a school system was as the basketball coach.
Wow. Well, coaching is big. That's how I got started, you know, with my consulting. So, you know, coaching is one of the big things is you learn those strategies where you're kind of the guide and you're helping, you know, the kids become better at what they do. And I wish we could, you know, get those skills with teachers too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of teaching and coaching, a lot of coaching and teaching, and there's such great crossover. And I think both teachers could learn a lot from coaches and vice versa.
So I was a history teacher. It's kind of fun. And you were in high school?
High school, yes, that's right. U.S. history.
U.S. history. I was a middle school teacher, so it was a little too. But how interesting now. Would you like to be back in the class working with some kids right now, and especially civics with U.S. history? And
you know what I miss the day-to-day interactions and banter with the students and the kind of relationships you can build when you see someone every day for 180 days. So I do miss that, but I also am really on fire about what I'm doing now and enjoying going around speaking and publishing and all that kind of stuff. So I don't want to go back, but I do miss the day-to-day interaction with the kids.
I'm like you. I feel like this is my calling, I should be doing these things now, telling the stories and letting people help tell their stories. But some of those kids are amazing. It's exciting. So your passion, you know, everyone who tells me when they listen to you, you're so passionate about what you do, and your message is so great. So how did you find that passion and, you know, the message, what kind of clicked for you after you were teaching?
Yeah, so for me, I want students to be on fire about school. I want them to knocking down the walls to get into class. And I can still remember how it all started for me as far as the Teach Like a Pirate thing is my department chair met me for lunch one day and he said, "Hey, I just got put on the professional development committee for the district." And I thought to myself, how cool would it be if you put together a workshop based on some of that crazy stuff you do down in your room that nobody understands? But then he said something that changed my life. He said, "I don't think you can. Because I think that your success in the classroom is just kind of you. I think it's personality driven. I'm not sure it's something that you could teach to other people." And so he kind of moved on. And I took that as a challenge. And I said, "Hey, like I can teach this. Like, sign me up to do one of those workshops." So I signed up to do a workshop for the peers in my district. And I walked away from that meeting going like, "Oh my God, like I don't have a workshop. I don't have any of this written down. I don't have it organized in any way." And so I got relentless about writing down everything I did in my classroom that I thought was successful. But then that wasn't good enough because that's what I do. To take a step back further and try to come up with, where do these ideas come from to begin with? And why does this one work and not this one? And it forced me to become much more intentional about my teaching. And so that's why I always encourage people to present, go out, like submit sessions, proposals for conferences, or whether it's in your district, in your school site, or whether it's a local or national conference, go out and present. Because when you are put in a position where you have to stand in front of other people and kind of like come together with, like, what is my magic recipe? What is my secret sauce? And you have to pull that together. together and present it to other people, it's going to force you to be so much more intentional about your teaching and so much more reflective. And so it made me such a better teacher when I started to present, because I started to kind of draw these ideas together. I think there's another thing that's kind of a lesson of this too, is I signed up to do my first professional development workshop before I had a workshop. And then with that deadline in mind, I came up with it, right? And so I think that's too many people wait, that they say, like, oh, I'm not ready yet. Well, you're never going to be ready. You take the opportunity when it comes to you, and then you get ready after you take your leap, right? And so that's what happened with Teach Like a Pirate. And so I wanted to have a theme. I wanted to be able to, when I was pulling together my workshop, I wanted to be able to model and demonstrate some of the things that I do in my classroom in the workshop. I wanted teachers to be able to feel what it was like to be in my room, right? And so, because if you think about it, Barbara, it's a lot of pressure. If you write up a workshop description that says that you're going to teach teachers how to create a wildly and outrageously engaging classroom that has kids knocking down the walls to get in, you better have a pretty dang good workshop, right? Like, if you're going to bill yourself as the engagement person, you better have a pretty good workshop. And so I wanted to have a theme. And so pirates appeal to me because pirates are unconventional. They're willing to reject the status quo. They're willing to sail into uncharted waters with no guarantee of success. They're risk takers, rebels, mavericks. And so I wanted to embrace that spirit of being a pirate. And then pirates are also known for having hooks. And this was all about how you could hook students and grab them into your content, into your curriculum. And then I'm abnormally obsessed with acronyms, Barbara. And so I turn everything into an acronym. And so the first thing I did is I turned the page sideways. I wrote P-I-R-A-T down the page. I tried to make an acronym. And I knew I wanted to talk about passion and enthusiasm. And there the P and the E were sitting at the beginning of the ends of the word, like the cornerstones of the whole thing. And I knew I wanted to talk about building rapport with kids as sort of being the heart of teaching. There the R was sitting in the center of the word. And so I never looked back. I did the Teach Like a Pirate workshop that summer for my peers. And then I began to go anywhere where anyone would listen to me to talk about these ideas.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love the acronym, and I love that you came up with it because you had to do it yourself. That's so cool. Just listening to you makes me want to just, I'm just so excited that you did that. So how did you, after you did that first workshop, you probably got great feedback, right?
I did. And you know what? I became kind of obsessed with it. And I have a little bit of that in my personality. And when I go all after something. And I began to go, like I said, I started submitting conference proposals to conferences all over the nation. And if any conference in any state said, yeah, you can come do your pirate thing here, I said, yes, I got a plane ticket. I bought a conference registration. I got a hotel room. And I went and I did my thing. I was going into debt doing this. Like I wasn't getting paid to go speak when this started. Like everybody, a lot of people say like, oh, I'm not going to go do this thing because I'm not getting paid for it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many conferences I did for free or actually I paid to do before I actually made it, right? So I would go anywhere where anyone listened to me and I would show up and nobody knew who I was at this time, right? And so, you know, that's what I think people sometimes forget is when this started, nobody knew what Teach Like a Pirate was. I was just a crazy guy walking around these conferences dressed like a pirate. And I wrote up my session description to Barbara to make it sound like you were going to Disneyland. Like, you know, when you go through these programs at the conferences, you read through the sessions, a lot of them sound like you're going to the dentist office to be drilled, right? Like, mine sound like you're going to Disneyland. And then I walked around and recruited people. I walked through the registration table area. I walked through the lobby of the hotel where people were. I walked through the breakfast area where people were eating. And I would just introduce myself to people and invite them to come to my session. I would walk by groups of people looking through their program in the hallways and say like, hey, I hear there's going to be a pirate in room 18 at 10 o'clock. And they would turn around and see a 6'5 pirate walk by, right? They're like, I have no idea what that guy's talking about, but he might be crazy. Let's go check it out, right? And so, and then I played loud pirate music out of my room, at my session room. And I didn't even present with a computer at this point. And if you've ever seen me do a key, I do a 90 to 2 hour minute two-hour keynote with one slide. So even today, it's not very tech-driven, but I wrote with marker pens on a foam board. It said the number one top secret way to become a better lover, and I propped it up in the front of my room. And then I stood out in the hallway, and I would draw people in like a carnival caller. I said, like, hey, come on, let's go. You don't want to go to that session. Come on over here. This one's going to be better. Come on. Hey, you, read the sign. You need this stuff. Get in the room. Let's go. Come on. And I'll tell you what, we would pack them in these rooms because I would just be in a little session room at this time. I wouldn't be like in the keynote space. And so they would be lining the walls. They'd be sitting on the floor in the aisles. They'd be blocked off in the hallway, like peeking in the doors. And everyone else would stand up at their session and read down their PowerPoint slides. I would just strap on a little microphone, go racing through these rooms, and light the place up. And it got bigger and bigger, started to build and build and grow. And then eventually that's when, there's the whole story about a publishing company approaching me, which we can talk about if you want to. But my goal, when I step in front of a group of people, listen, I'm going to douse myself with the gasoline of enthusiasm, spark it with the flames of inspiration, and I'm going to light up when I get in front of people. Like, I'm going to say, I step up there. I say, listen, I'm looking around at the audience. I'm thinking, I'm going to burn this place down around these people. Right. And so, that's how it all started. Again, nobody knew who I was. I was just this crazy guy doing these pirate performances at these conferences.
Oh, God. I love that you're still enthusiastic because, you know, that energy is just contagious. You can't help it. It's just wonderful. I still hear teachers say to me, well, I can't present because no one's paying my way. And I'm like, I did for years like you. I still do because I want the message out. It's about passion. It's not about, your passion can get you known and money and whatever, but that's not why you do it.
Yeah, it never starts that way.
It never starts that way.
I love to find people that are prolific sharers. You know, they're so on fire about their message that they just can't help talking about it. It's just oozing out of them and they have to go. They want to go present and they want to get in front of people. And then those are the people that we especially look for to try to amplify their impact.
So let's talk about your publishing company and about maybe how you got started with the book. And
yeah. Okay. So, I can still remember to this day. It was at the NCSS conference in Washington, D.C. I had just done a Teach Like a Pirate presentation and there was a person who worked for a publishing company that was in the audience. She came up to me afterwards. She said, I would like to meet with you. We would like to do a book with you based on these workshops that you're going around and doing, right? And I had been wanting to write a book for a long time and been procrastinating. And so I sat down, I met with her in this little coffee shop in the lobby of the hotel and she offered me a publishing contract. I went straight up into my hotel room, Barbara, and I Googled publishing contracts because I thought she was trying to cheat me. I really thought she was trying to cheat me. And then when I Googled publishing contracts, I came to find out she wasn't trying to cheat me. That's exactly what they look like. And to me, the only thing missing was a ski mask and a gun. I was like, wait a second. I'm going to write this book. It's my intellectual property. I'm going to travel around and speak about it. I'm going to build a social media platform. And you make how much money? And I make how much money? It just didn't make any sense to me. And they wanted to take creative control of my project. They wanted to remove the edgy stuff. They wanted to take out the rants about the overemphasis on standardized test scores. They said to me, no administrator will buy this book with that stuff in there. But I knew a secret, Barbara. I was married to an administrator. And so I knew the secret that a lot of administrators were frustrated with that overemphasis too. And they said, it's too personal. You wrote about walking through the canyons with your kids in this book. You wrote about your favorite Christmas carol in this book. Little drummer boy, by the way. You wrote about your favorite Christmas carol in this book. That doesn't belong in a professional educational read. Where are the research studies? Where's the data? Where's the footnoting for all this? And that was not the book I was looking to write. This was my story, my manifesto from a practicing classroom teacher to other teachers in the field about how I felt we could change education and a roadmap for how to do it. So we ended up, after doing a ton of research, we told all the publishing companies where to go. We formed our own publishing company and we published Teach Like a Pirate right from the kitchen table, right off a laptop at the kitchen table is where we published this book. And so that's kind of the origin of the whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I could tell you, I know as an author, and I want to write another book. I know how you feel. I just don't want to start my own publishing company. But I do know you, what you do, your authors love you. They love you and Shelley. They tell me how much you support them and how much you promote the books and how much you care and you left their voice in there. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because that's not how publishing is in many places. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And we love our authors. And so that's kind of what was the next step for us. You said something very important, and that was that you want to do another book, but you don't want to start a publishing company. And that's what we found. So what happened is this really crazy thing happened, and that's that Teach Like a Pirate took off. And I was a practicing classroom teacher when I wrote it. I was full-time. And Barbara, half of that book was written on my son's desk in his bedroom at a period of time in his life when he wasn't able to fall asleep at night without someone in the room. So I would tuck my son into bed He'd say, "You're not going to leave, are you, Daddy?" I'm like, "Nope, I'm going to be right here at your desk working." Popped open my laptop each night, and half the book was typed out right at that desk. And we published it from the kitchen table. And then now this is very surreal to tell you, but it's now translated into Spanish, Russian, Korean, two forms of Chinese, and we've sold over 350,000 copies of it from our house. It's been like this, it was this wild ride, right? It just kind of went crazy, went viral. And so other people started to come to us and say, "We don't want to sign those contracts either. Like, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing this? We don't understand. You don't have like a big company behind you." And I would consult with people and tell them what I had done, but there were still things holding people back. Because if you're going to, I mean, not everybody wants to go out and hire all these different, you know, editors and cover designers and graphic layout artists and get ISBN numbers and do all the distribution, you know, get into the distribution channels and all these different things that we had done for Teach Like a Pirate. And so we just decided it was time to disrupt the industry. When you see it, when you see an industry that's based on an outdated model, it's time for it to be disrupted. That's how a lot of people feel about education right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're like, you know what? We know how to do this. We just did it with Teach Like a Pirate. So let's do it with these people. And so, when we would come across someone that we felt had a powerful message, then, we put their book out too. And we said, we're going to help them amplify their impact. And, but the key was I had learned a lot of lessons. Like, for example, there was lots of things about the traditional publishing world that I didn't like. And there was lots of things about self-publishing that I didn't like. And so what we try to do is to create a hybrid model, something in between, where we could take all the best of the traditional publishing world, get rid of the worst, and take all the best of what you get when you self-publish a book and get rid of all the worst. Like the self-publishing world, one of the best things is creative control. You get to have your voice, your book, you know, the book comes out how you want it to come out. And so that was something that we wanted to maintain in this model because that was super important to me. And so that's why we try to maintain our author voice and give creative control to our authors. But yet we have a full team that can put the book together for you. And then of course, we're going to give you all sorts of support and social media and all that kind of stuff too.
It's just wonderful. I have to end it pretty soon, but I can talk to you. I can see why you can get up in front of a group. You don't need any slides or anything because you're so entertaining and you're so, you know, you really inspire. You make it better for many people. And is there anything you'd like to, that I, you know, just to kind of pull everything together? Is there anything that you want to just share out?
Yeah, you know what? So I would encourage people to get connected. So I'm at Burgess Dave on Twitter. That's where you can always find me. The hashtag people often use to talk about my work is TLAP for Teach Like a Pirate. If they're an Instagram person, they can go to DBC_INC, DBC Inc. To find us. And I love to connect with educators. And so that's that was a game changer for me, was becoming a connected educator. And that's also where we find, you know, we run across most of our authors and all that. So make sure you get connected. And you might be thinking that, well, there's nothing, I don't have anything that I can share, or what I do is not special or unique. And in almost every circumstance I've ever run across, that's absolutely not true. Everyone has something special, something unique that they can share. And learning how to amplify your impact and to spread that message and to learn and be able to connect and learn with others is a big part of what we do.
Oh, this is wonderful. So all the things that you just said, we're going to put on the blog post that goes with this, and we'll put all the links and maybe even some of the events coming up so people can know where you're going to be, and the link to your website, because you have a lot going on.
Lots going on, lots of books coming out, and we are so honored to work with all of our authors, and thank you so much for having them on the podcast, and we just try to find great people and help them spread their message.
Oh, thank you, Dave. This was just a real pleasure. I needed it today, so this was great. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Dave Burgess. Look for a complimentary blog post about Dave and all the amazing things he's been doing, and where we pull together resources, links, and that contact information that he mentioned. So please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. You can also subscribe to my website at barbarabray.net to receive announcements and updates so you don't miss any of the conversations.